you know, one of those dichotomies. I think it's very hard for many of us to shake dualism, the dialectic, and one of the. I always like it though when a well-established dualism that it's inhabiting one's way of looking at art is turned on its head by an exhibition. I have a little dualism, a big dualism, in my mind that there's the kind of art that really slows you down to have a teasing or else the kind of work where one really has to engage with the physical surface of the work is often one where there's a great deal of painterliness, if it's an image, a painting, richness and ambiguity, and that when work has a kind of crisp, neat edge and it has a sort of illustrational feel to it, it provides a very quick read, and one sees it and one moves on, or one is taken to a conceptual place, or rather than actually dwelling with the material properties of the work. And it seems with Alexei Wirth that in many ways the works have a lot of kind of graphic quality to them. There's an immediacy, and there's the crisp edge of illustration or the comic book. And yet, in a funny way, these are like old-fashioned problem pictures that one is befuddled and really have to stay and look and what the hell is this? How does this work? What is he actually depicting? Where do the fingers sit with this wine glass? Where is the stem? Where is the base? Where is the rim? Etc. And so it's a strange kind of. I find myself having to spend more time looking at an image to simply work it out, but at the same time, its surface is actually not that kind of lush, invested surface that one would, say, enjoy in an abstract painting of one's choice. My first question to the panel is about speed. Are these what sort of how quickly does one read these images? And when you've read an image, is it a bit like a paperback that you don't need to reshelve for later rereading? Or is it got it? Is it like more like a detective novel than a Tolstoy novel? I mean, speed and use. How does that affect our experience of the show, Ken?
Well, I have a fairly complete theory about them, but just to start with, I found they're puzzling, literally puzzling, and I needed help. I could not figure out what the wine glass was a picture of. I needed help from Ed, the director of the gallery. I didn't understand the protest scenes. Some of the others I are clear because I knew like the Eve reaching up for an apple. So I think that with what he's constantly going around and around about on, I think that the apple represents the fall, and the fall is the fall into perspective, the fall into seeing, being in space and only being able to see from one point. So every picture has something to do with being sort of seeing, but limited seeing, and the inability to see. Actually, to see existence the way God does.
Eva, what sort of speed did you find yourself adopting with these works?
Well, I mean, I guess I really, just to back up a minute in terms of the way they're made that Ken was referring to, I mean, they're very complicated because there's a mesh that overlays, you know, that is part of the frame, I guess. So there's this layering of what you see, so that it's through the screen, essentially, that the image comes to you. And the acrylic is, has quite a hard edge, as David had alluded to. So I thought that that play between the kind of obscurity of the image a little bit, because of that mesh, but also the cartoonish simplicity of them was rather interesting. I really loved the wine glass one, and I really loved, there's one in which, and I guess it's because there was a large portion of negative space in that work, and there's one in which a lens cap is held, and so there's this perfect circle in the center of the rectangular image, and so you're looking at this kind of maw of darkness, and then it takes you a while to figure out what you're seeing. So there's this play between, you know, this showing you with nothing, you know, like blackness. But the other work, sometimes I wasn't all that curious about what was going on, or some of the ones that were more cartoonish, like the stacked heads of shadows, I think it very quickly went up. It could kind of left me going, I'm not sure what to make of this. Though, again, the sort of surface complexity is really seductive to look at, that mesh and the painting, but I wasn't quite sure what to do with, whether they were jokey or cartoony or, you know. So I guess, yeah, to me, the negative space was really where I got drawn in, because it played against the way that seductiveness of the mesh surface was so playful and, you know, sort of painterly and stuff.
Chloe, humorous, profound, both?
Humorless, useless. I didn't have a reaction to it. I didn't feel drawn to it or held to it at all. Similarly, the mesh was seductive, but then the image was graphic, so I wasn't sure how those two played together at all. I think the point of view, in terms of perspective, is definitely what held me the longest. I do like the idea of the limited perspective. That's something that I thought a lot about. Looking down at the wine glasses, not knowing that they were wine glasses, looking down at Eve. I originally thought she was lying down, but she's actually reaching upwards, which was kind of interesting to me. And then the woman with the man sort of on top of her, like the stacked double head, was interesting to me. And the lens cap, which looked like it could be kind of a fruit in this massive hand, in this small picture surrounded by these big pictures. That was interesting too. So I enjoyed the point of view and the visual confusion in an analytical visual sense, but in terms of a visceral reaction, I didn't really have one, which is interesting because the first two shows very much, I think, in a sense, were metaphysical or visceral in some way.
Mm-hmm. These were more psychological in the sense of, not in the sense of, these are more perceptual. These are sort of problem pictures of perceptual psychology rather than rich cultural experiences. Is that where we're going with this?
Right, because I wasn't really sure what to do with the content of a lot of the imagery too. So I'm like, okay, we have these two people smoking in a sort of empty room next to this Eve imagery, next to this very straightforward picture of a lens cap, next to these sort of Libyan-Syrian protest scenes.
Mm-hmm.
They felt almost like the images were chosen because of their visual qualities as opposed to anything underneath them. Unless we're looking at like failure of society or malaise or something like that.
I think they're about. You talked about slowness. I found that the more I thought about them, the more interesting they become to me, and I started thinking they're about entrapment, and you know the entrapment of seeing the world only through a camera, so the lens cap sort of. So I started thinking, well, the problem that with Alexei's work is there's no way out. Say, unlike Lorna Williams' work, where the way out is through magic or animism or some other state of consciousness. And then that was when I thought, oh, that's why you have drinking and smoking and windows and sex, because those are sort of ways out of this kind of... The original sin is being in perspective, and those are ways of sort of dissolving the ego and self. I don't know if that's what Alexei's thinking.
Perhaps these this Marxist juggernaut you're so fearful of would like Worth because of the both the alienation that he depicts and the material properties that he is concerned with?
I don't know. What do you think, Ava?
Can you make a Marxist case for Alexei Worth, Ava?
Okay, that's tough.
You're a professor of art history. It's your job. Come on.
You know, well, I mean, I'm just going to back up to the material because it's what rubbed me both the right way and the wrong way. And I guess I just left kind of hating the color in this work. I don't know. I mean, this is not the Marxist lineup, but there was just this kind of acrylic-y, like, cheapness to the way that... Sorry, that's my baby out there. She's not happy about this working. No, there was just something that I didn't really love about the way it looked. It just felt like, was this going... It had this kind of retro feeling, like, of the 70s, like some of this... I don't know, maybe just that kind of figurative work that came after all of that experimentation of sort of 60s conceptualism, and some of that felt like it was in this work, and I really didn't like the crumpled paper hand stuff. Like, I thought, God, why are you going to do this over and over again? And just as a motif, it seemed like this kind of simplistic reading that you would give it, like, okay, this is about the end of paper, or the end of a certain kind of, like, knowledge acquisition or distribution, and yet it just felt like a kind of, like, a little bit cheap as a gesture and not that interesting in terms of the colors or something with it, like this pinkish tone on it. So I'm totally sidestepping your question, David,
okay.
To just complain about
the paper. In a way that they... are really about grasping for the ability to visualize what can be seen, but it cannot be described. That therefore, in a way, to use lovely color and to generate a sort of transcendently decorative kind of experience would actually militate against the job at hand, right. The work.
I mean, one of the things that runs throughout the show is issues of transparency. And, like, the thing about language, like the crumpled paper, I think, is, like, language is sort of a way that we can see through the world, but it's also only language. It's just, you know, it's like a Derridean hell, you know. Mm-hmm. So... it's interesting because I think Alexei's work in the past has been more visually appealing.
And more humanist in a way as well. The early work was...
But I really love the way he's sort of worrying about these issues and his willingness to be obscure about it. And... it's like a very distant... It seems impersonal, but this feeling like you can't be in contact with the real, like the Egyptian scenes of protest. There are shadows of people looking at these images. That's us, like half a world away, sort of trying to make sense of what people over there are doing. So, like. We see through the media is transparent and yet it's not. It's so there's this kind of anguish. It's sort of. I mean, maybe what we wish there was be is more sense of that in the making of the stuff. But I don't. You know, I'm still willing to go with it.
Right. Okay. So how about the vision of the world offered by Wolfgang Tillmans? I am waiting to be enlightened as to why this man is a superstar, and I'm hoping these three very distinguished critics of different generations, some my age, some older, some younger, so therefore there's no can't blame my age for the fact that these look to me pretentious and unremittingly ugly images. There's obviously something important here, and I'm missing it, so who would like to be the first to begin to enlighten me? Chloe.
Okay. I know what you mean. I walked into that show and thought, if I just spend enough time looking at exactly every single image, I'll figure it out. And that's kind of what happened. This is Tillman's first show where he's using entirely digital cameras, which is interesting. So he's sort of playing with the scale with those huge digital printers. So he's playing with the scale of these enormous photographs and these small ones, and then this sort of the inkjet colors, those sort of color studies. So there's that happening. And then there's also this, you have somebody who's like a megastar multimillionaire traveling around the world. So then you have like a picture inside of a Maasai hut next to somebody packing fruit, next to like a fruit conference in Berlin, next to like a really fancy car. So there's that, a sense of globalization going on as well, which is sort of take it or leave it. So I think those are the main themes, but I think, you know, the merit is in some of the individual photographs. I really enjoy the one, I enjoyed the fruit logistica pictures, just because those fruit arrangements were so alien and bizarre and plastic and kind of separate. And I enjoyed the image of the woman in the plasticky shopping mall in the full hijab. That was sort of interesting to me. And also the man with the beautiful, like, Armenian sort of Parajanov face in the middle of, like, those Pepsi and cola signs, you know. I thought that was very beautiful, too. That's about all I've got right now.
No, so you found beauty by persevering with an initial alienation?
Yeah, I think so. And I think, I mean, I don't really care for the way he arranges things. I mean, I think it might have been interesting several years ago, but now it looks a bit like a Pinterest board or something like that. You know, it's like very social media-y. And I think sometimes it can work against some of the individual images, but I have always believed in some of his images to be very strong. And I think in this show, some of the images are very strong. Some of them are very intimate and very personal. And then others I could care less about, so...
Right. Ken?
Is it right to pick out, to cherry pick? I mean, isn't his project like you're supposed to take it all?
But we're at liberty to do what we like with it. I mean, who cares if he doesn't want us to cherry pick? If we want to cherry pick, let's cherry pick.
It's a question of what are the appropriate criteria to bring to judge the work by.
But I do kind of wish he would kind of, maybe this is just my personal thing, but I am a little bit sick of the arrangement in a way. Like, I know we're supposed to, the arrangement. I am, you know, I think it works against the strength of some of the images. It makes it look a little bit like an MFA show or something. I felt like I was at a Yale MFA photography show, you know, like some of this stuff's hung up, some of it's pinned up, some of it's taped up, some of it's printed on the big printers out the back, you know.
Yeah, and
some of it's not edited well, you know.
He's responsible for that.
Well, he started that, yeah. Mm. He's like the harbinger of that in every university, you know. And I actually think that that's thankfully passing out of fashion, you know. Mm-hmm. So with that fading away of that kind of impersonal, plasticky, like inkjet printerish sort of arrangement, maybe if he were to let go of some of that and let some of his stronger images really shine. Images that only he could have taken on his kind of budget and his kind of mobility, that would maybe improve the show immensely.
But most of the images seem to be driven by this, by so ideologically driven by this sort of tiresome idea about globalism.
Yeah.
You know, and inequities of wealth and is he really a multimillionaire? I mean, it just that spectacle of being able to travel around like that and to make.
Yeah.
But most of those images really are those fruit conferences. It didn't look like you needed a big budget to go and do that. It looks like you whipped them off the internet. Almost all the images had such an inept and impersonal quality that I didn't even know that they were necessarily. From his finger and his shutter. They certainly didn't need to be.
Because
out there on the web, there are plenty of images no worse than these that one could fill Andrea Rosen Gallery with. So you don't need any budget at all.
Right, but maybe that's just the way that they're arranged, because it looks so much like the internet. It's mediated to bring questions of the internet to your eyes that you begin to think, these came from the internet. But if you can just let that fade away and zoom in on some of these images, they're very, the way he cuts up the picture plane, the way that he arranges figures, the way that he brings in plastic with organic, the different facial expressions that he captures, he is very talented as a photographer. Mm-hmm. I think maybe he just came of age as a photographer in this sort of what is the internet moment, mm-hmm. you know?
Yes.
I mean, he came to prominence as the internet came to prominence, mm-hmm. so maybe that's part of it as well.
Eva, yeah. did you find a skill in the compositions that were energizing for you in the show?
Well, I'll agree with Chloe, and because she marked certain images that I too found to be really just compelling to look at. The guy with the monobrow, and you know these fruit display cabinets. But that Tumblr, you know, or I guess you know he's the kind of granddaddy of that Tumblr aesthetic of images, seemingly without relation, you know, so you have to grapple with like, okay, this is a picture of a car next to a mushroom next to the monobrow guy, you know, whatever this, you know, and the different scale and his definition of his practice almost as a curatorial one, because, you know, he goes in there and chooses the size of all these, the arrangement, and so this is a kind of atlas, you know, that could, in a way, bring us back to the, you know, the mnemonic atlas of someone like Abby Warburg, where it's about trying to stave off this kind of fear of what happens if images go away, you know, like to sort of this accumulation becomes almost compulsive, and that lack of editing that is so annoying about his work in a way is a kind of program for him of, you know, of overproducing, you know, or as a kind of recovery against loss. I mean, that's one way to put it, but the other way is that there's just too much to look at, and that is, you know, as a practice, is makes you feel like just edit this a little bit better, you know, really bring out the strong stuff and don't, you know, sort of this barrage, this image bath that you have to kind of move through becomes like what differentiates this curatorial eye from the, you know, the kind of a million Tumblr pages out there, you know, in which all this different stuff is brought into relation and it's too much to ever really come out, you know, feeling like you've dealt with something, I don't know, like in a considered way, I guess.
Right, but is that because we're in a gallery space that we want to see less? Is that why? Because I think about the image bath mm-hmm. and I'm like, that's me every morning when I'm going on the internet, you know, like... Is it because we're in this white cube that we need to see less and everything needs mm-hmm. to be more considered, you know?
He's pre-internet, really. I mean, he started out as a film, for a person working with film, right? To me, he's more associated with that photography about photography, like someone like Roe Etheridge, and mm-hmm. Who's younger, but sort of taking down the fetishization of the classic modern photograph and sort of saying like all photographs are equally interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So they have that quality that Dave is describing of being like photographs that anybody could have taken. Some like could be almost like accidental. Some look like a skillful commercial photographer. I mean, there's this whole culture of like someone like Christopher Williams going back to Sherry Levine's copies. Mm-hmm. I mean, but all of that was predicated on a history of photography that's in the past now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Like he's doing it with a digital camera now, and I don't know if he's telling. He's still telling us something about. Other kind of photography. I mean, I don't think he's really addressing what the Tumblr, this other thing, this kind of constant mm-hmm. cascading of digital imagery. And I don't know how that would be done, but maybe that's why it doesn't feel urgent to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, when you mentioned the Roe Etheridge thing, that occurred to me in seeing this Tillman show, and that occurred to me in a not good, not as a good comparison, in the sense that those kind of random elements seemingly random elements brought together without explanation makes the viewer do just so much work. And when you compound that with a lot of work, as Chloe, you were saying, then you leave really exhausted, like, okay, so I'm making sense of the car next to the mushroom, next to, you know, the Ethiopian market, next to a computer terminal, next to, you know, so there's just this associative exhaustion that happens where you're trying to figure out is, and then also, you know, do I trust this artist in these comparisons? Is it just this game of deferring, you know, the series, you know, into like these episodes of individual looking, and then like you have to kind of like swipe it and then go to the next thing and swipe it clean, and you just don't feel like anything builds.
But you mentioned Abby Warburg, but that kind of collecting, as I understand it in a limited way, was really about images, the power of images.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that...
And the migration of symbols and the layeredness of meanings and chance meanings and intuitive meanings and enforced meanings and symbols and codes. I mean, it couldn't be... The world couldn't be flatter in Tillmans, and it couldn't be deeper in Warburg.
And I think that sort of accounts for whatever his popular... I mean, his pop... I don't know if you'd call it popularity, but his cachet... Because it appeals to materialist neo-Marxist cynicism.
And fashion at the same time.
In a certain kind of fashion, too.
Right. Well, there's an interesting meeting of cultures, isn't there? Alexei Wirth and Wolfgang Tillmans are... we want to hear from our audience now. And the issue of gimmick that may or may not relate... to one or both of those artists and the artist this morning, yes.
Well, I guess I was kind of surprised at your reactions to Alexei's show because I found that I had a very visceral reaction to the work. It seemed they were very much about loneliness and disconnection from the world. And I thought, and frustration, and I thought the fist, the crumpled things were not only about frustration, but had a kind of political edge to the, you know, the upraised fist kind of. And that graphic quality of that image indicated that. And then the association with the crowds, but also the crowds, like Ken said, that had the shadows on them. I thought the color of the darkness of the color in general made them feel very, like, you know, lonely. And even the lens cap one just seemed like it didn't seem like a lens cap so much as like holding death, you know, it was like the void, you know, right in your hand. And so I had this constant feeling of, you know, frustration and disconnection and kind of the inability to connect with the world outside of your immediate experience. There was like, you know, the puddles on the floor. And the way they were painted also had, again, that feeling of this, they almost seemed like they were projected, you know, and the screen, I think, intensified that in the fact that they were, you know, airbrushed so that, you know, I think one thing that Alexei always had in the paintings was this like sort of avatar of this kind of clumsy, you know, socially inept guy, Gerber man, I think he called him. And I think that these paintings, I thought there was sort of an unconvincing, you know, avatar for him since he seems very garrulous and socially at ease. But I thought that these paintings themselves kind of became that kind of person, and the projection things, they were almost like, you know, like Plato's cave kind of thing, so that you kind of, they were less cartoony in a lot of ways than his earlier paintings. I think they were actually, you know, more specific in their things, and I, you know, didn't go with all of them, but a lot of the things with like mirrors that didn't reflect anything, and you know, in smoke, you know, a very evanescent kind of thing, people smoking and stuff like that. I don't know. I just felt that they had a much more, they weren't so like gimmicky intellectual. I thought that they were much more about trying to get to a very specific experience. And on the other hand, the Wolfgang Tillmans, I always liked Wolfgang Tillmans' things. I thought this was, I agree with you, but I think that there was something really missing, which was this, except in a few cases, like the guy with the monobrow, but don't they usually have a lot more like young couples and people in relationships? And I thought that there was like less an actual kind of human connection of, you know, of people, and much more like this disconnected, you know, I'm touring the world kind of, this is what I see. And maybe it's the digital camera, because I find with my own digital practice that there's a certain kind of formalism that takes over with the digital camera. It makes it very easy to make very formal, you know, close-ups of things, or, you know, arrangements of things. And maybe the film, you know, gave it a much, you know, more arbitrary kind of thing. But I found them very, you know, just very cool.
Right. Okay. So Worth is warmer than one thinks. Tillman's colder. Okay.
Anybody else?
Any other comments on either of those shows or both of those shows, Tillman's and Worth? No, I think we're ready to see if we can swim our way home through the storm. Thank you very much, and see you in the fall.